Cultivate Greatness podcast number 4. Third in the series of Napoleon Hill's Law of Success. This will be lesson number 3 in Dr. Napoleon Hill's wonderful book series. It's the most amazing thing that I think I've had the opportunity to read, and I really enjoy sharing it with you. So here we go. We're going to talk about the third lesson in the Law of Success, which is self-confidence. And how does one build self-confidence? Why is self-confidence such an important factor in one's pursuit of success? Well, you have to think, if you're always sending out these negative vibrations about yourself, if you have all this negative self-talk, you're telling yourself, man, I messed that up. Why do I mess things up? Man, I really botched that one. Man, I just can't speak in front of people, man. I just don't like speaking in front of people. I just can't do it. You know, you tell yourself all these negative things. Man, it's like, I get around a bunch of people, I start freaking out. What's the deal? Well, the thing is that you are actually emitting these thoughts in your mind. And these thoughts are things. Everything is things, you know. Gravity is a thing. We don't quite understand why it's there, but we don't see it, but we know gravity's there. We know there's these, you know, millions of unseen particles that are flying through the universe at unbelievable speeds that just pierce through us as if we're nothing. Right? What does it all mean? If we're sending out these negative thoughts, we're sending these thoughts out through the universe, and people around us are picking up on these things. They're noticing that, you know what? Wow. You can tell you have no confidence. They pick up subconsciously on the vibe that you're sending out. And as a result of their vibe that they're sending out, they're going to treat you in a certain way. Now, Dr. Hill, in this particular lesson, he talks about how the man who walks with his chest out, with his head held high, and walks with a purpose through life, people get out of his way. And people that are supposed to help him all along his path, they're attracted to him. Conversely, if we're always thinking about how bad things are and how horrible things are, or how they could be, or how we're going to worry about the potentiality of negative circumstances, what you're doing is you're actually paying the debt before you even own a bill. They've not even sent you a bill, but you have already written them a check in the form of worry. Now, my grandma used to worry all the time. It literally made me think about, wow, I can tell that my grandmother is living her life day to day, always concerned and worrying about something. We would drive home. Immediately, we had to call her as soon as we got home to let her know that we're home, so she doesn't have to worry about us anymore. I always found that peculiar. And for that same reason, it's just kind of a, I don't know if it's rebellious, but I don't call my mom when I come home from their house. You know, I'm 33 years old. I'm a grown man. If I, you know, hey, maybe I'll give you a call on the way. Hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. There's just always something about that. There's no need to worry. There's no need to concern. Because the more you concern and worry, you're going to bring about these circumstances that you're trying to avoid. But in actuality, you're formulating these ideas in your mind. And so these ideas are your creation. You've created the scenario you're trying to avoid by worrying and being fearful and fretful about this idea. And so that's one of the things he wanted to impress in this lesson, is that, you know, the law of attraction is prevalent in all that we do. And we can use a thing that he would call auto-suggestion. That's a Napoleon Hillism, where you basically program your subconscious mind things that you want, things that you foresee them to be, creating things the way you want them to be, creating your goals. And your goal, according to Napoleon Hill, a goal is just a dream with a time frame. It's a dream with a time frame. That's huge. A time limit on this. A deadline. A goal is a dream with a deadline. It's probably how I might word it. And so we have to have the self-confidence in ourselves to believe that we can do it. And along my path here, I'm 33 years old. I have, a web development business that we pick up some freelance work here and there. It brings in about an extra probably, maybe 10 grand a year up to this point. We decided to go ahead and make it an LLC and really make some stuff happen, which I think is exciting. Been building websites since 1996. I've also been a print production manager and a print production specialist for a major Fortune 500 company, where I would go around to various organizations and talk to them about the print process and how they can do things more effectively, more efficiently by learning, Adobe Acrobat, learning some tricks, how to, process things in an optimal way, also which printers are going to be best for certain jobs, monitoring their printing, etc., etc. And I recently took my final job for an employer. I've decided it's something that I think is going to help me along the way. I took a technical trainer position at this local computer training institute. So I'm an instructor now, and I'm teaching Adobe Acrobat products. I'm teaching Macromedia products. I'm also teaching the CIW Foundation's Certified Internet Webmaster program as well. What's great about this position is I'll typically work 2 to 5 days a week. On the days that I'm not scheduled to work, I don't go into the office. I don't have to. It's my free time. I prep as I please. And typically I'll be working full on 2 to 3 weeks per month, still on salary. So that's great. I've created a position for myself that's optimal for my current circumstance. Now, as I grow, and as Cultivate Greatness grows as a business, grows as an idea, and grows as an ideal, we're going to tap in to some amazing minds, and we're going to be able to put forth some pretty powerful projects and have something in the mix with a mentor of mine who lives in Hawaii, very successful businessman out there. He's been impressed with the growth of Cultivate Greatness, and we're going to be working on this idea with a couple other gentlemen from Ohio, and I think when it's all said and done, we get the idea a little more formulated, it's going to really help out the professional and personal development firms and people and blogs. Kind of, it'll be a nice little interesting organizational collective that we create. And it's very exciting. So we're growing and we're doing this with self-confidence. We believe in ourselves. And one thing, this is interesting. I came up with a way one day to visualize the elimination of doubt. And sometimes it seems very difficult to your mind, your conscious mind, to not dwell on the things that you don't want to think about. It's difficult. So what do I do in a situation like that? Well, I imagine that I have a rain cloud right above my head. Kind of like Pink Panther used to have in those cartoons, right? Dun, 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 dun. Everywhere he would walk, that little rain cloud would follow him. He's like, what is the deal? I got this little rain cloud following me everywhere I go. Come on, rain cloud, go away. Well, what I decided to do is imagine I'm going to breathe in 3 times. The first breath is going to probably take about 40% of that cloud. I'm going to breathe it in into my head. I'm going to exhale it through my belly button core area as a lightning bolt. So now 40% of that cloud of doubt is gone. Now, my second breath, I'm going to get about 45% of the cloud. So there's only going to be about 10-15% of the cloud left over after I have my second breath. And when I breathe it through my belly button, I have a bigger lightning bolt, man. This is kind of really strong lightning bolt shooting out. Boom. Then you have your third. Boom. doubt is gone. You just shot lightning through you, man. You've taken in energy from the universe. And then you're grateful for being an important part of the cog of the universe. Now, we can view ourselves as being very small. Hey, I'm just one person. I live in the United States. I live in Ireland. I live in Russia. I live in New Zealand. I live in China. I live in India. I'm just one person. But you know what? One person can change the mindset of millions. One person can have an idea and create a great architecture for the future. One person can do a lot. And you can be that one person. You can decide to be great. You can decide to make things happen. Or you can sit idly on the sidelines and worry about what everybody thinks about you and what everybody's opinion is about you and why this person right here doesn't think you're cool and why this person right here, oh my goodness, they did this and this and that. Oh my gosh, oh the drama. Let's worry about little things. You know what? You can go into a room, a party. There's 50, 60 people in that room. You go up and talk to every single one of them. They're going to have, each one of those persons is going to have an opinion about you. There's going to be 50, 60 opinions in that room about you. Now, you can internalize their opinions and have it affect you in some way. Or you can have the strength and the mental fortitude to say, you know what, none of that matters. Because I'm me. I'm an important part of this universe. And I'm here for a reason. I was born a champion. And as cheesy as this sounds, you were born a champion. You were the fastest sperm to get to the egg. You are a champion. You had to go through many obstacles to even exist. And you did it first. The very hardest thing you're probably ever going to do was as a sperm, floating through the fallopian tubes and whatever all you got to go through to get up to where you got to go. Probably not the fallopian tube, I guess that's the you know, where the egg drops or whatever, but you know, you get the point. You know, you had to go through mucus. You know, these little agents that's inside there that, you know, don't really work well with the whole sperm and it disables it, makes it no good anymore. It's crazy to think about that. Realize you were born a champion. You're here for a reason. You got something magical to create within your life. And for some, probably for many, I guess, tonight was a very magical moment as the Cardinals won Game 5 tonight of the World Series, beat the Detroit Tigers. Well, I have a 5-year-old son, and I have a 9-month-old baby girl. And I tell you, once you become a father, you really know what love is. You really, truly, at least for me, you know, it's like, wow. Got so much love for these two little things right here, these two little people. Wow. How can I help them become the very best that they can be in whatever it is that they want to be good at? How can I help them? And he was born in 2001, my firstborn. And he was actually born on the day that my stepfather adopted me and gave me his last name. I was 7 years old, October 17th. 1980, my mom's new husband decided that he wanted to take me on as his own. My real biological father had kind of peaced out a long time ago when I was like 2. And you know, that's the path some people feel they have to take. You know, they gotta peace out and not really deal with responsibility. But that at an early age taught me, it's like, wow, how can you just burn out on your kid? How's that possible? You know? And I didn't really take offense to him burning out on me. It was more, wow, how can you do that to a kid? Amazing. You're not that strong of a person. So that's how I kind of took the approach with that. And, you know, I think on some levels it kind of upset me in ways that you don't really understand. But you know what? I am who I am today for a reason. And so I bless that situation. And I have gratitude for it. 21 years later, my son was born. On the anniversary of the day that I was adopted. He said, Dada, for the first time on Father's Day. This little guy has a cosmic knowing, and he's just right on time. It's amazing. And my son, his name is Jarek, and we named him Jarek Lennon. Sebastian is his name. He's a strong character. We named him Jarek because I thought it was a very interesting name. And actually, I believe Tony Robbins named his kid Jarek. And I heard that name one time, and I'm like, wow, that's a really cool name. So we decided to name our kid that and give him an opportunity at an early age to give him power. Because this name right here is a different name. My grandparents were like, oh, how could you name him that? Because we spelled Jarek, J-H-A-R-E-K. Jarek. The H is silent. And my grandma was like, oh my goodness, how could you give him that name? People are going to think he's a terrorist. He's named Jaharik or something. People aren't going to understand. They're going to make fun of him. I'm like, you know, Grandpa, she was actually suggesting we change his name to like something. And I'm like, hey, Grandma, just because you named your kids Mark and Elaine and Jeff, those are simple names, you know. You know what? You know, that's your choice. That was your choice. But, you know, my choice is to help my kid out. And I think that, kind of like Johnny Cash and the boy named Sue, well, I give my son a very strong name. And gives him an opportunity right from the beginning to begin his self-confidence. In 2001, we sat down and watched the World Series, and he was just crawling around on the floor. He saw baseball on the TV, and he literally stopped, looked up at the TV, sat himself up, and just sat there and started watching baseball. He had never really sat down and watched baseball prior to that. So something inside me was like, wow, damn, something about this boy loves baseball. This is unreal. So what we decided to do was to go ahead and help him out by getting a paper towel, empty paper towel cardboard roll, and started throwing balloons to him. Watch the balloon hit the ball. Watch the balloon hit the ball. Watch the bat hit the balloon. Watch the bat hit the balloon. Hand-eye coordination, brother. Now, at age 5, just turned 5, October 17th, he can crunch. It's amazing. His hand-eye coordination is phenomenal. We have an acorn tree, an oak tree that, you know, obviously drops acorns. So there's acorns all over the ground. And I'll just sit there and pitch them to him about 25, 35 feet away. And he'll hit 400 to 600% of them, depending on that day. So he's good at something. He's got self-confidence. What are you good at? What is it about you that you're proud of? What have you done that was exciting? What have you done that was exhilarating? What kind of risk did you take that you were successful at? Ask yourself these questions and remind yourself about your successes. Don't dwell on the defeats that you've had. Don't dwell on the negativity. Because, I mean, these things right here will bring you down. They will make you sick. They will make you lose jobs. They will make you lose your house. These are the thoughts that make people homeless. This is a very amazing thing. A friend of mine, grew up with him in high school. He was a roommate of mine at one time. And, you know, I always thought really highly of this guy. But something inside of his mind has whipped him into a frenzy about things that he just feels he cannot do. And he'll get himself into social situations where he's very awkward. He's a handsome fellow for the most part. Hasn't been able to get a girlfriend, you know, since 2000. Hasn't been able to, you know, have any good time, loving time. And it's just been dwelling upon him. And he got himself to a situation where he became homeless. And then he moved back with his mom. And then he was like, wow, I'm living here with my mom. This is horrible. How can I be here living with my mom? I'm 32 years old living with my mom. Man, this is horrible. This is the worst thing ever. So he decided to be homeless. Living out in 105 degree temperature, homeless in the middle of summer, because you're mad that you got to live with your mom. Well, you know, you could take that approach, I guess. Probably not the wisest decision. Because there's, you can build on things. And then again, there's the opposite. You can't start breaking things down. And if you continually break things down, the dam begins to break. And slowly but surely there's a leak. One leak creates another leak. Now the wall gets weakened. Now the dam is broken. Wow. So, how do you build a new dam? You build it one brick at a time. You got to get some building blocks and building stones for yourself. And I know, hey, I've gone on and on so far here. I do want to thank everybody who has listened to this podcast so far, and it's amazing. When we started out, my first episode obviously didn't have any subscribers. Then my second episode, we had like 10-ish, 12-ish. Then we jumped to 46. And now, today when I checked, we had 103 subscribers so far. This thing has been out less than a month. So, or approximately a month. I'm not sure exactly the first day that I threw it out, but I know it can't be longer than a month, month and a half. And I'm so grateful for you guys. Obviously, you're enjoying what you're hearing, and I appreciate that. So, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to read a few excerpts from Napoleon Hill that I found were pretty enlightening for me. And one thing that he talked about in here was, remember that if you tell somebody you're going to do something, or you tell yourself you're going to do something, you got to do it. The reason is you build off of those self-confidence things. It's like, look, I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to touch this wall over here. I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to touch the wall. All right. I touched the wall. Sweet. I did it. I just built a little self-confidence. I told myself I was going to do something, and I did it. I'm beginning to build momentum. I'm going to go over here and touch this door handle. That's right. But now say I go, hey, I'm going to come over here and I'm going to touch this ball, but then I don't touch it. Woo! Kind of teaches your subconscious mind a little bit that, hey, maybe you're not all that, maybe you're a little bit flighty. Maybe you don't do what you say. You know? Maybe you're not responsible. So you start asking yourself, your conscience starts asking yourself these questions, and you know, you begin to go down this little spiral. So remember that. Tell yourself you're going to do something and then do it. Make every attempt and make every opportunity happen for that, because you got to do that. Thought is the most highly organized form of energy known to man. We've already found out enough about the human mind to know that a man may throw off the accumulated effects of 1,000 generations of fear through the aid of the principle of autosuggestion. We've already discovered that the fact that fear is the chief reason for poverty and failure and misery that takes on 1,000 different forms. We've already discovered the fact that man who masters fear may march on a successful achievement in practically any undertaking, despite all efforts to defeat him. The development of self-confidence starts with the elimination of this demon called fear, which sits upon a man's shoulders and whispers to him, "You can't do it. You're afraid to try it. You're afraid of public opinion. You're afraid that you will fail. You're afraid you don't have the ability." World enemy of progress is fear. And there's six basic forms of fear. There's fear of poverty, fear of old age, fear of criticism, fear of loss of love of someone, fear of ill health, and fear of death. These are the six basic fears. And we think about them, and we dwell about them. We dwell on them. We worry about them. We're concerned about them. We think about it all the time. It consumes us. We're obsessed about it. Next thing you know, it's here. And all you've done is worrying about it. And each day we move closer to that in which you fear. It's amazing. Interesting story. Here. Here's a man who meets with some disappointment. A friend proves false, or a neighbor seems indifferent. Forthwith, he decides through self-suggestion that men are untrustworthy and all neighbors are unappreciative. These thoughts so deeply embed themselves in his subconscious mind that they color his whole attitude towards other people. So you apply the law of attraction here, and you soon see and understand why the unbeliever attracts other unbelievers. Like attracts like. You send out this negative vibe, you're going to get people who feed the fire of your negativity. But see, you want to fuel the fire of optimism. You want to fuel the fire of success. You want to fuel your own fire of self-confidence and optimism. Optimal positive outcomes is what you want to envision in your mind. So you take the law of attraction here and you reverse it. Here's a man who sees nothing but the best in all in whom he meets. If his neighbors seem indifferent, he takes no notice of that fact, for he makes it his business to fill his mind with dominating thoughts of optimism and good cheer and faith in others. If people speak to him harshly, he looks back in tones of softness. through the operation of the same internal law of attraction, he draws himself to the attention of people whose attitude toward life, whose dominating thoughts harmonize with his own. Here's a man who has been well-schooled and has the ability to render to the world some needed service. Somewhere, sometime, he has heard that modesty is a great virtue and that to push himself to the front of the stage in the game of life savors of egotism. He quietly slips in the back door and takes a seat at the rear while the other players in the game of life boldly step to the front. He remains in the back row because he fears what they might say. Public opinion, or that which he believes to be public opinion, has pushed him to the rear, and the world hears but little of him. His schooling counts for nothing because he is afraid to let the world know that he has it. He's constantly suggesting to himself that he should remain in the background, lest he be criticized, and if criticism would do him any damage or defeat his purpose. Because it would. Oh man, he's negative. Here's another man of born of poor parents. Since the first day he can remember, he has seen evidence of poverty. He has heard talk of poverty. He has felt the icy hand of poverty on his shoulders, and it has so impressed him that he fixes in his mind as it a curse to which he must submit. Quite unconsciously, he permits himself to fall victim to the belief that once poor, always poor, until the belief becomes a dominating thought in his mind. He resembles a horse who has been harnessed and broken until he forgets that he has the potential power in which to throw off this harness. Auto-suggestion is rapidly relegating him to the back of the stage of life. Finally, he becomes a quitter. Ambition is gone. Opportunity comes his way no longer. He has not the vision to see it. He accepts his fate. One of the chief disadvantages of inherited wealth is the fact that all too often it leads to inaction and loss of self-confidence. Now he also talks in another story that I read in this chapter about Napoleon Hill was one time an assistant to this very wealthy man who had two kids that were in college, and each month he would write a check to $100 to each kid. And you got to think, this is like 1920s, 1919, 1915, somewhere around there, right? $100 a month to these kids going to college, just free money. That'd be like us sending, you know, our kids like 10 grand, you know, just free 10 grand. Hey, here's 10 grand, go have fun, party it up this month, right? Well, what ended up happening is one kid ended up committing suicide, the other one ended up in an insane asylum. So, you know, what can you do? Well, you don't give your kids everything. You got to teach them a little bit of self-confidence, self-sufficiency. I believe you have to help them out with their ideas. If they come up with an idea, and encourage them to think about different ideas and offer different suggestions on things. I'm always offering, you know, hey, what do you think about this, man? What could we do with that? Whoa. And so I listen to his little ideas, his little suggestions, and I see his mind and the cog of his mind kicking and working, and then when he comes up with some good idea, I praise him on it, man. He's like, man, he just beams, boy. He's got happiness and self-confidence. That's great. I love it. My kids are very happy. It's so awesome to see them just joyful. I rarely ever hear my 9-month-old baby girl cry. She's just smiley and happy all the time. My son, he's so well behaved. We go around places and he's like a little adult. But you know what? He can play with the best of them. He loves it. He loves life. He'll come home and he'll just play all his toys and have a good time. But you know what? When he's around other people, he likes to hang around those other people and see if he can gain knowledge and wisdom from them. It's so amazing. Such a great concept at such an early age to realize the value of wisdom. And I'm proud of that. And this little guy loves baseball, as I said. He really wants to be a baseball player, is what he said. And so we play with him, we practice. We help him become the best that he can be at whatever it is he likes. And I might suggest that you do that for yourself. Why not demand of yourself to become the very best that you can be at whatever it is that you love? What are you most passionate about? What excites you, man? What is it? Because I tell you, if you're getting up 9 to 5, and you're going to a job you hate, and you ain't digging it, you ain't feeling it, and you're disgruntled, just don't go postal, brother, sisters. Don't go postal. There's another way. You got to ask yourself what it is you really want. What is going to excite you to get up out of that bed? I have this poster in my office, and it's it's one of those accessory posters, right? And it's a lion, big lion on there, and it says something to the effect of, when the gazelle wakes up in the morning, it knows that it has to run faster than the slowest gazelle so that the lion won't catch it. It has to know it has to outrun the fastest lion so he's not the one eaten. The lion wakes up, and his life and him eating and survival depends upon the fact that he is able to be faster than the slowest gazelle. So it says at the end, it goes, well, regardless if the gazelle or the lion is getting up in the morning running, you, if you want to survive in this life, you got to wake up as soon as the day begins, and you better be running. That's it. You got to make it happen. You can't sit idly and expect your dreams to happen. There's no dream fairy who's going to come in the middle of the night and be like, oh, you want a $1 million business? Boom, here it is. Dream fairy, you know, they don't come. They don't just. There's no genie. There's no Robin Williams, you know, coming out of a lamp. He's not blue. It's within yourself. It's within your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind gives you the power to auto-suggest into your mind and begin to control how your mind creates that in which you desire. Because if you ask for it and believe you're going to get it, brothers and sisters, you're going to get it. That's the way it goes. If you absolutely believe it, you will achieve it. If you can conceive it, you will achieve it. Faith, self-confidence, positive talk, these are the key elements. So, says here, one of the most successful men in his line of America gives the entire credit to his success to his wife. When they were first married, she wrote a creed, which he signed and placed up over his desk. This is a copy of that creed. I believe in myself. I believe in those who work with me. I believe in my employer. I believe in my friends. I believe in my family. I believe that God will lend me everything I need with which to succeed if I do my best to earn it through faithful and honest service. I believe in prayer. And I will never close my eyes and sleep without praying for divine guidance to the end, that which will be patient with other people and tolerant with those who do not believe as I do. I believe that success is the result of intelligent effort and does not depend upon luck or sharp practices or double-crossing friends, fellow men, or my employer. I believe I will get out of my life exactly what I put into it. Therefore, I will be careful to conduct myself towards others as I would want them to act towards me. I will not slander those whom I do not like. I will not slight my work no matter what I may see others doing. I will render the best service of which I am capable because I have pledged myself to succeed in life, and I know that success is always the result of conscientious and efficient effort. Therefore, I will forgive those who offend me because I realize that I shall sometimes offend others, and I will need their forgiveness. The woman who wrote this creed was a practical psychologist of the first order. With the influence and guidance of such a woman as a helpmate, any man could achieve noteworthy success. Analyze this creed and you will notice how freely the personal pronoun is used. It starts off with the affirmation of self-confidence, which is perfectly proper. No man can make this creed his own without developing a positive attitude that would attract to him people who would aid him in his struggle for success. This would be a splendid creed for every salesman to adopt. Might not hurt your chances for success if you adopted it. Mere adoption, however, is not enough. You must practice it. Read it over and over and over again so you know it by heart. Then repeat it at least once a day until you literally transformed it into your mental makeup. So I would suggest maybe rewinding the podcast a little bit, maybe jotting it down. And tell yourself that before you go to bed, man. Tell yourself these positive things. I can do all things through the infinite intelligence in the universe. Through my own subconscious mind, I can program myself to, you know, make myself healthy. The DNA in my body, the blueprint for that is in my subconscious mind. I cut myself, my body knows to heal it. I hurt my leg, I break my leg. My body heals it. You have something in your life you need healed. Just believe it will be healed. Tell yourself that it's healed. You're perfectly balanced and whole. Healed, healthy, and wealthy. In your perfect form through the creative and ultimate intelligence above. You know, tell yourself these things, man. When you get drowsy and going to bed, when you wake up in the morning, when you're in that fog, tell yourself good things. Have positive speak. Practice positive speak. Because if you're talking negative to yourself, then only negative things can happen. And if you really want to be successful, you got to be positive. You got to expect positive things. You have to want the positive things to happen for you. You have to expect them to happen. They must happen. This is the way it shall be. It's a must. It's not a hope. It's not a wish. Because a wish and a hope, it's not really backed by faith. It's just a, wow, sure would be nice if. No, it has to be a must. It has to be this way. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, aggressive, and continuous action towards its attainment. Second, I realize that the dominant thoughts of my mind eventually reproduce themselves in outward bodily action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my mind for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person that I intend to be by creating a mental picture of this person and then transforming that picture into reality through practical service. Third, I know that through the principle of auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of realizing it. Therefore, I shall devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of the factors named in the 16 laws of success. Fourth, I have clearly mapped out and written down a description of my definite purpose in life for the coming 5 years. I have set a price on my services for each of these 5 years, a price that I intend to earn and receive through strict application and principle of this efficient, satisfactory service for which I will render in advance. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no action which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to me the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because I will serve them first. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory and read it aloud once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my entire life so that I will become successful and happy worker in my chosen field of endeavor. Signed, Travis Wright. Now, before you sign your name to a formula like this, make sure that you intend to carry out its instructions because, again, I'm going to touch the door. I'm going to touch the doorknob. I'm going to touch the handle here. I'm going to touch the wall. If you don't do it, you're destroying and, you know, decomposing that in which you're trying to create. It's the same principle. Tell yourself you're going to do something, then follow through. If you're going to be, if you tell somebody you're going to be there at 1 o'clock, then be there at 1 o'clock. Right? Let's not be late for no ridiculous reason. Let's have respect amongst ourselves and respect for the other people who we told that we're going to do these things. Let's be men of our word. Another point to be kept in mind is the fact that just as electricity will turn the wheels of industry and serve mankind in a million other ways, or snuff out life if wrongly applied, so will this principle of autosuggestion lead you up the mountainside of peace and prosperity, or down the valley into the valley of misery and poverty. It's all according to the application that you make of the law of attraction and autosuggestion. If you fill your mind with doubt and unbelief in your ability to achieve, then the principle of autosuggestion takes this spirit of unbelief and sets it up on your subconscious mind as your dominating thought, and slowly but surely draws you into the whirlwind of failure. But if you fill your mind with radiant self-confidence, the principle of autosuggestion takes this belief and sets it up as your dominating thought and helps you master the obstacles that fall in your way until you reach that mountaintop of success, baby. So I'm going to end this right here with this famous poem. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but think you can't, it's almost certain you won't. If you think you'll lose, you've lost. For out in the world we find, success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you are outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. So are you a man who thinks you can, or a woman who thinks you can? Are you someone who thinks you can't? Do you have a lot of fear? Do you have a lot of worry? You know, remember, you're consciously and continuously broadcasting what you think of yourself. If you have no faith in yourself, others pick up the vibration of your thoughts and mistake them for their own. And they will treat you accordingly. You know? So if you're worried about how people are treating you, begin treating yourself a little better. Be self-confident. It's a choice you have to make if you want to be successful. If you have doubt, breathe it away. Ask yourself how you can make it happen, not why is it not working. Make it happen. Thomas Edison didn't say, "Wow, man, I tried 9,999 times and none of them worked. Man, this sucks. I'm done." There's no way he would stop after 9,999. Would he? I don't think so. He didn't. He kept going. Most people who would have quit a long time. They tried two or three times. Man, it's over. It ain't working. I done tried three times, man. It's done. It is not working. Well, those who are successful make a way to make things happen. They're assertive. They attack on the battlefield of life. Or do you sit on the back row because you're worried that somebody might not, you know, think that what you did was that good? Well, you know what? You got a chance to learn. You got a chance to get better. So, there you have it. Right on. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for, you know, continually listening to this podcast. Again, this is the third lesson. There's 16 total. So, over the course of the next, you know, couple, two, three, 4 months, whatever, we'll be throwing these out. And I want to thank you for sticking with it. I am getting the message board thrown up here for too long. I actually got the was working on the bulletin board that fits in right with the WordPress application, and so they have some bugs on it. I think that's going to be the best solution. I could throw up another message board, but when the time is right, the message board will be put up. And I tell you what, I got a lot of visitors coming to the site. We've got a lot of you know, people subscribing here to the podcast. And, you know, my goodness, if you have a chance to check out our blog carnival, this last blog carnival that's coming up on the 30th of October, I think it'll be the fifth blog carnival. Wow, there's already like 35, 40 submissions to it. So different articles to read, blows me away. There's a ton of great stuff on there. So I want to thank you for submitting articles. Feel free to continue to do that. We'll go ahead and get some big things built together. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, continue to cultivate greatness. Thank you and much love. Appreciate it.
Thank you.